Right now, 50% of the people listening to this are actively looking for a new job.
Which is a massive number.
I mean, it's half the workforce. But, you know, if you're currently using ChatGPT to just spit out this perfectly polished, keyword-stuffed resume, well, the chief marketing officer of LinkedIn has a very specific message for you.
Yeah, and that message is basically that you're doing it entirely wrong.
Completely wrong. So, welcome to today's deep dive. We are taking a hard look at the rapidly shifting world of work, personal branding, and marketing.
Right. And we're doing it through the lens of a remarkably candid interview with LinkedIn's CMO.
Exactly. I mean, we're talking about a platform that connects 1.3 billion members to over 70 million companies. The sheer volume of global labor data they are sitting on is just unparalleled.
That's a gold mine.
It really is. So whether you are a job seeker trying to cut through the noise, a founder building an audience, maybe a marketer trying to survive the AI revolution, or just, you know, someone trying to figure out where your industry is heading, this data completely rewrites the playbook.
It really changes everything we thought we knew.
Okay, let's unpack this, because the macro picture of the labor market right now is undergoing these tectonic shifts. I mean, we used to think of a career like climbing a ladder, right? It was linear, bolted to the wall, you just held on.
Just keep climbing.
Right. But today, that ladder is just gone, and you are navigating a very unpredictable ocean. And looking at this 50% metric half of all professionals looking to jump ship, it just completely shatters the old illusion of the stable, complacent corporate employee.
It does. It represents an enormous historical high for workforce mobility, or at least the desire for it.
Yeah.
What really stands out in the data, though, is the combination of drivers behind that number.
Mm-hmm.
We are seeing this huge collision of macroeconomic compression, meaning companies are actively downsizing or freezing headcounts.
Mm.
And that's paired with a very proactive desire from workers to upskill.
They want to get ahead of it.
Exactly. People are trying to change their trajectory before the market forces a change upon them.
But wait, I have to stop you there. Because when we talk about market forces, I mean, we are really talking about AI. And saying AI isn't eating jobs feels incredibly disconnected from the reality on the ground.
I get why you'd say that.
Yeah. Right. I mean, tell that to the junior copywriters or the graphic designers or the entry-level coders who are literally watching their entire departments get hollowed out right now.
Yeah.
You read the headlines and it sounds like algorithms are just coming for everyone's desk chair. How can we look at that and say, you know, AI is actually creating opportunity?
No, it is a totally valid challenge. And the displacement you're talking about is absolutely real in those specific task-based sectors.
Okay.
However, if we connect this to the bigger picture, the data from LinkedIn's economic research group actually reveals a massive misattribution of the broader pain. AI is not currently eating entry-level jobs wholesale across the global economy.
Really? So what is?
The real culprit for the widespread structural corporate job cuts we've seen recently is actually high interest rates.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. When the cost of borrowing money skyrockets, companies immediately tighten their belts, right? They cut speculative projects and they reduce headcount to protect their profit margins. It's just basic macroeconomic pressure.
But AI just happened to arrive at the same time.
Exactly. Because AI arrived at the exact same moment the Federal Reserve hiked rates, AI took the blame for a lot of traditional financial downsizing. In terms of net numbers, the platform data shows AI is currently creating more jobs than it is eliminating.
That's wild.
Primarily because it's spawning entirely new industries and operational categories that, I mean, they just didn't exist 3 years ago.
So we are essentially blaming the shiny new robot for the fact that money just got really expensive.
Pretty much, yeah.
That fundamentally changes how you should view your own job security. And we are seeing the workforce respond to this uncertainty in some wildly creative ways. Like, people aren't just looking to swap one corporate cubicle for another. Over the last year, there has been a 60% increase in people adding founder to their profiles.
Which is huge.
Mm-hmm.
A 60% spike is a massive behavioral shift.
Yeah.
It tells us that people are betting on themselves in record numbers. In an uncertain labor market where your corporate job might disappear simply because, you know, a CFO needs to balance a spreadsheet, people are deciding they want more agency over their income.
And it's easier than ever to do that now.
Right. And ironically, the very AI tools that cause so much anxiety are the exact mechanisms enabling this explosion of entrepreneurship. A single person can now spin up a website, generate marketing copy, automate customer service, and analyze data at a speed and scale that previously required a team of 5 people.
It's incredible.
The barrier to entry for starting a business has effectively dropped to 0.
And for those who aren't going the founder route, there's this fascinating pivot happening, especially among younger workers, that completely caught me off guard. They are actively turning toward the trades.
Yes.
Like plumbing, electrical work, specialized healthcare. And the logic is just bulletproof. You cannot automate a plumber.
Not anytime soon.
Right. Gen Z is looking at the landscape. They're identifying the blind spots in artificial intelligence, and they're seeking long-term job security in the physical world where code just has 0 footprint.
It is a highly pragmatic calculus. They're asking where the human leverage remains. You either leverage AI to build your own digital empire, or you retreat to a physical domain where AI is physically incapable of competing.
It's like AI is actually a mirror forcing us to look at what makes us uniquely human.
That's a great way to put it.
And even if you stay in the corporate world, the skills employers are desperately looking for have totally flipped. I mean, AI literacy is now considered table stakes. If you are a marketer, you are expected to know how to prompt for copy. If you're in law, you need to know how to use it for initial case research.
Exactly. Knowing how to use ChatGPT doesn't make you special anymore.
Right. It just gets you in the door. Mm-hmm. The real premium is on what we historically dismissed as soft skills.
And we have completely undervalued those traits for decades. Creativity, strategic thinking, clear communication, the ability to build consensus among highly emotional human beings.
Right. The messy stuff.
Exactly. Those are no longer soft skills.
Mm-hmm.
They are hard, non-negotiable requirements. An AI model can generate 10,000 variations of a marketing email in 3 seconds, but it cannot sit in a boardroom, read the subtle shifts in body language from a hesitant client, and negotiate a complex multi-million-dollar deal.
Absolutely not.
It cannot generate an original counterintuitive strategy based on lived, messy human experience. The rise of AI forces every single professional to over-index on their humanity.
Which brings up a massive mechanical problem for anyone listening. If AI is forcing us to line into our humanity and the job market is more crowded and fluid than ever, how do you actually showcase that humanity online to cut through the noise? Because everybody is fighting for the exact same digital attention.
And the competition for that attention is fiercer than ever. The data shows a 41% increase in total posts on the platform over the last 3 years.
Wow. 41%.
Yeah. So basic economics dictates that as the supply of content surges, the organic reach for any individual post naturally plummets. The feed is a living organism governed by supply and demand.
But let's be real, people don't think it's just math. When reach drops, people blame the code. I mean, there's been a massive debate. Online users actively claiming the algorithm heavily discriminates against women.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
People were literally changing their profile names from female to male and reporting these huge spikes in engagement, sparking this idea that the platform was actively suppressing certain demographics.
That debate got incredibly heated. Now, LinkedIn's leadership flatly denies this.
Mm.
Their official stance is that demographic data, gender, race, or any similar identifier is entirely absent from the algorithmic code.
Right.
So whether you buy that explanation or not, they maintain that any perceived spikes are purely a matter of timing and engagement velocity. The feed reacts to what people are engaging with in real time.
So it's very situational.
Completely. A post published on a Tuesday morning might completely flop, while the exact same post on a Thursday afternoon might go viral, simply based on who happens to be online, scrolling and commenting at that specific hour.
So it's about the mechanics of momentum, not a hidden bias. And speaking of trying to game the mechanics, one of the biggest mistakes the CMO highlighted is people using AI to write all their posts to try and keep up with this content demand.
It is the ultimate irony. People are desperate to stand out in a crowded market, so they use a tool designed to mathematically average out human thought.
Oh, have you read these posts? They are instantly recognizable. They use words like delve and tapestry. They have perfectly symmetrical bullet points, and they completely lack any real voice or perspective.
It's like a wall of bland text.
Right. You are outsourcing your humanity at the exact moment the market is putting a massive premium on it.
Picture the reality of social networking in the physical world. Like, if you walk into a vibrant networking event, you wouldn't walk up to a group of strangers and recite a perfectly sanitized, robotic corporate press release.
They'd think you were crazy.
They would walk away from you. You need a distinct point of view, sharing your actual learnings, a massive failure you just experienced, or a specific piece of advice a mentor gave you, that raw authenticity is the only thing that pierces through the polished professional veneer.
here's where it gets really interesting and frankly a bit uncomfortable. The CMO shared her own most successful post.
This is a great example.
Right. Now, you would assume the head of marketing for a massive professional network would get the most engagement on a slick, highly produced video about macroeconomic trends.
Naturally.
Instead, her most successful post was a video of her talking about marketing strategy from inside a ball pit wearing pink blow-up flamingo sunglasses.
I mean, it violently breaks the pattern of the endless scroll. When a user is scrolling through hundreds of identical hyper-professional humble brags, a ball pit and flamingo glasses create an intense cognitive pattern interrupt.
I know exactly what you, the listener, are thinking right now. You're thinking, if I post a picture of myself in a ball pit wearing flamingo glasses, my boss is going to pull me into HR and I'll look completely unprofessional to future employers.
That's a very common fear.
We have this deep-seated anxiety about breaking the corporate mold. But the data proves that over-polishing your professional persona just renders you invisible. Showing the messy, slightly weird, behind-the-scenes reality of who you actually are is what builds a dedicated audience.
And beyond just posting authentic content, there is a specific mechanical strategy to winning that attention. The source refers to it as the Jedi tactic.
The Jedi tactic, I love that.
Right. It isn't about broadcasting your own thoughts into the void. It is about strategically engaging in the comments section of other people's content.
This is a huge shift in how we think about social media.
Most people treat platforms like a megaphone. They post and then walk away. But the secret sauce for massive reach is commenting on posts from people you admire or who have the audience you want to reach. And this requires nuance. You cannot just drop a generic great post or I agree.
Or the opposite, which I see all the time. Someone writing a 10-page hostile thesis trying to hijack the post and prove how smart they are.
Both extremes fail. The algorithm rewards active, high-quality conversation. When you leave a thoughtful, insightful, or genuinely funny comment, you create a networking effect. You borrow that creator's audience's attention.
Ah, that makes sense.
If your comment gets liked and replied to, the algorithm flags your profile as a high-value conversationalist and inherently starts serving your own original content to a much wider group of people.
It's the digital equivalent of being the most charming person at a dinner party, engaging with everyone's stories, rather than the guy standing on the table shouting about his own resume. And that fear of being unprofessional doesn't just paralyze individual job seekers. It scales all the way up to billion-dollar corporations paralyzing their own sales. Which brings us to the business-to-people revolution. Historically, business-to-business marketing has been the driest, most soul-crushing category of advertising on earth.
Oh, without a doubt. It operated on a flawed psychological assumption. It assumed that if a human being is tasked with buying enterprise cybersecurity software for their company, they magically transform into a completely rational, emotionless robot who only cares about product specifications, uptime percentages, and value propositions.
But the reality is, the person approving a $2 million software contract is the exact same human being with the same stress, the same sense of humor, and the same emotional triggers who goes to the grocery store and buys a bag of Doritos.
It's the exact same brain.
You have to grab their heart and their mind just the same. Business to business is actually business to people.
This raises an important question, though. If enterprise buyers are just normal, emotional humans, we have to ask why companies continue to waste millions of dollars ramming dry product specs down their throats.
Why do they do it?
Well, the absurdity of this is highlighted by the fundamental mechanics of how corporate purchasing actually works, specifically the Ehrenberg-based 95-5 rule.
This metric completely blew my mind. Break down the mechanics of this for us.
The 95 rule states that at any given moment, 95% of the buyers in your specific category are not in the market for your product. Only 5% are actively looking to buy right now.
So 95 out of 100 people seeing your highly targeted, very expensive ad literally do not care and physically cannot buy what you are selling today, no matter how good the software is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Furthermore, the average corporate buying cycle is a grueling 7 months long. There is zero impulse buying. It requires committee approvals, budget reviews, and massive cognitive load.
It's like standard corporate marketing is walking up to a stranger at a bar and asking them to marry you on the first date, handing them a spreadsheet of why you'd make a logically efficient spouse. You're desperately pitching that 5%.
This doesn't work.
But good marketing business to people marketing is just trying to be charming and memorable enough to get a second date. you are building emotional trust with the 95%, so that in 7 months, when their boss finally approves the budget, your name is the very first one they subconsciously type into Google.
You're building memory structures in advance of the buying cycle. You achieve that through extreme distinctiveness and emotional resonance, not a list of features.
And the examples of this new wave of creative marketing are incredible. Like, there was an ad featuring a forklift literally crashing into a pristine corporate meeting room.
That's a great one.
Another campaign for a small business service was entirely populated by vampires, with the office workers dragging heavy silver chains around the copy machine to avoid hiring the office vampire.
These campaigns work mechanically because they use shock value and humor to anchor a memory in the buyer's brain. They do not look or feel like typical corporate marketing. A standout example from the data was a campaign run right in San Francisco.
Oh, right, the billboards.
Yes. If you drive down the 101 freeway, it is typically littered with impossible-to-understand billboards for tech startups. AI for enterprise security. AI to scale your growth. Completely bland, jargon-heavy, and unspecific.
So what did they do differently?
They deployed a series of self-aware anti-billboards. They explicitly broke the fourth wall and made fun of the surrounding ads, saying things like, "We don't understand these other AI billboards either, but we can hire you a new copywriter."
That is absolutely brilliant. It's funny, it's hyper-targeted to the local audience's frustration, and it clearly communicates their actual value. We connect you with better talent, but you can't just be weird for the sake of being weird, right? The underlying strategy requires what they call a clear song sheet.
Right. Mechanically, a song sheet is your foundational messaging hierarchy. It forces you to define the single core truth your audience needs to understand about your value.
Yeah.
Once you have that locked in, you layer on the specific reasons they should believe you. Only after that logical foundation is built do you wrap it in that wildly creative emotional packaging, like the forklift or the vampires. Without the song sheet, you just have a funny video that doesn't sell anything.
And wrapping a clear message in new technology is exactly how AI is fundamentally changing the search functionality for everyone trying to hire or get hired. They are rolling out a new AI job search feature that completely changes the paradigm of how we find work.
It dismantles the rigid Boolean search mechanics of the past. Historically, you had to type in exact text strings like finance manager in Los Angeles and 5 years experience. If a candidate's resume didn't have those exact words, they were invisible.
So frustrating.
Now you can use conversational AI to express complex, multifaceted desires.
The CMO referred to it as typing in a fruit salad of terms. You can type something wild like, "I want to work in a green industry. I have an environmental graphic design background, and I used to work in corporate banking."
Because the AI isn't just matching text strings like a filing cabinet, it is using semantic matching. It understands the underlying vibe, the vector embeddings of your skills, and maps them to concepts.
So it's much deeper.
Very much so. It can take that graphic design and banking background and map it to a role in a renewable energy firm that requires visual data presentation for investors. It surfaces lateral career paths a user would never have discovered, and it expands the talent pool for recruiters far beyond the obvious candidates.
We have covered a massive amount of ground today. We've looked at the intense macroeconomic pressures driving half the workforce to seek new harbors. We've seen how the rise of AI is simultaneously sparking a solo founder boom and making our inherently human, messy, soft skills our most valuable assets.
Yeah, it's been a lot.
We've broken down the mechanics of the feed and learned why being a great conversationalist in the comments beats broadcasting. And we've seen how treating massive corporate buyers like actual emotional human beings is the only way to survive a 7-month buying cycle. So what does this all mean?
Well, all this data points to one inevitable conclusion. We require a fundamental shift in how we view our professional identities. There was a brilliant user suggestion highlighted regarding the traditional open-to-work banner on profiles.
Oh, I loved this part.
Some people feel it carries a stigma of desperation, right?
Yeah.
The suggestion was to flip the narrative entirely. Instead of open-to-work, change it to open to triple your sales or open to drive EBITDA for your company, EBITDA being your company's raw operating profit.
I love the psychology of that. It instantly transforms you from a passive, needy job seeker into an active, high-leverage value creator.
It does. And if we pull that thread, it leads to a highly provocative concept regarding your entire career. We discussed the B2B 95-5 rule, the reality that 95% of buyers aren't in the market today. and the grueling 7-month cycle.
Mm.
What if we apply that exact same corporate marketing logic to you, the individual?
Walk us through the mechanics of that.
If we apply the 95-5 rule to an individual career, we have to accept a radical idea. The traditional resume is completely dead.
Dead.
Think about what a resume is. It is just a historical record of past titles, and you only hand it to the 5% of people who happen to have a job opening today. It is incredibly reactive.
Right.
But if you treat yourself as a brand, you stop relying on the historical record. You should be actively advertising your future ROI, the specific value you will create tomorrow, to the 95% of your network who aren't even hiring yet.
So you're planting seeds.
You need to build memorable fame and emotional trust with them right now through engagement, humor, and authentic content. Because when their 7-month cycle finally hits and they desperately need to hire a leader, a founder, or a creative director, you want to be the only name they subconsciously type into the search bar.
That is a total paradigm shift. How would you rewrite your entire professional presence today if it were an ad for your future self? Because remember, we aren't climbing that bolted-down, predictable corporate ladder anymore. We are out on the ocean, and the only way to navigate these shifting, murky waters isn't to desperately search for a stiffer ladder. It's to learn how to build a better boat, constructed entirely out of the things that make you uniquely human. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. We'll see you next time.